Now you'll find my text again this Lord's Day evening in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Having considered faith, particularly last Lord's Day evening, tonight we come to consider love, joy, peace. Dear congregation, these pleasant fruits, excited by the Holy Spirit, are precious in the eyes of the Lord, and afford the believer much help as they make their journey through this world. And as we consider the pandemic, which again is so gripping this nation, it is a blessing in view of the Lord to know love, joy, and peace. And it is my prayer at the end of this year you might know much love, much joy, and yes, you may have your struggles and your sorrows, your disappointments, but oh, may you know much love, love towards the Lord, joy in view of Christ, and peace. That peace which our Saviour spake of, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled. Now if you recall last week, we considered the apostle here declares the opposition between the flesh, that is the inward corruption, and the spirit. And this from verse 17, we notice there, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And as we saw in the unbeliever, there is nothing but flesh or inward corruption. With believers, there is still indwelling sin or corruption, and the believer needs to battle hard with sin, and we need to mortify. However, and we're so thankful for us, there is the new man within. There is grace within, and the fruits appear. This brings us now to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yes, we battle hard, and we know all too well the corruption within, that indwelling sin still within our hearts. But there is love, there is joy, and there is peace. And as we saw last week, there is faith. Well, for the remainder of the time tonight, the Lord enabling, I'd like us to consider first of all love, secondly joy, and thirdly peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love. And many have a love within their hearts. There's a natural love. And over these past few months, throughout this year, we have witnessed acts of love. We've seen it, how certain ones have sacrificially given of their time, have helped certain ones in hospital. There was a certain man whose wife was in a rest home, and they were unable to see each other for many months this year. So what did their husband do? He admitted himself into the rest home so he could be with his wife. And there they are. What an act of love. They're unconverted, but what an act of love. And we've seen many move to tears as they've seen such acts of love. There's natural love in the hearts of many. There's love towards children. We witness that. You young people, you've met your friends, and you know certain ones whose parents so love your friends. There is much love in many a heart, which is natural. Yes, there is much hatred in this world, but there is much love, that which is natural. But here we consider a grace that is not in the heart of the unbeliever. It is alone in the hearts of those who love the Lord. And rather, John makes this plain. In 1 John 3 verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You see, it's unique there. It's found in the hearts of believers, this grace of love, this spiritual grace. Yes, there's a natural love in the hearts of unbelievers, but there's only this grace of love in the hearts of believers. And it can be an aid to assurance. Our loving of the brethren is an aid to our assurance that we are saved, that we are born again. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you know? Do you know that you have life within? You may be sitting there or listening online and thinking, do I have life within? Yes, I do. Because I sincerely and truly love the brethren. Well, this grace comes as a result of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's found within because of his ministry. He puts it within. There's love to God and there's love to the brethren. Let me ask you, has love come to your soul? Yes, you may have a natural love. But oh, has love come to your soul? Can you look up tonight as you're aware of God and say to him that you love him? Has the Holy Spirit approached your heart and put love within? Have you love to God? Have you love to the brethren? Are you aware of love in your heart for God? Have you this grace? You know if you love God. You know if you love the brethren. Are you aware of love? We meet people, do we not? They're very loving, some of them, very caring. But the grace of love hasn't come to them. They do not love God. They have no love, true love for the brethren. I know a number of loving couples in this village, and they're very caring and loving, but love hasn't come to their soul. They haven't this grace of love. Has love come to your soul? Can you say tonight in the ear of the Lord, I love the Lord? Now this love begins with God. In 1 John 4 verse 19 we read, we love him because he first loved us. We give him all the glory. We who love the Lord here tonight, we give him all the glory. Left to ourselves, we would not be found loving the Lord. It began on his side. We were loved with an everlasting, special love. It's so amazing, isn't it? How short a time we have loved the Lord to the way in which he has loved us. He's loved us with an everlasting love. And consider, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In 1 John 3 verse 10, which we read last week, we read this, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We were not found loving God by nature, were we? We can look back to a time. It began with God. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What love! What love of the Father in sending. What love of the Son in coming and dying. You recording those words in John 13. He loved them unto the end. He loved them all the way whilst he was here upon earth. Whilst he was growing up in Nazareth. Whilst he went around the countryside in his public ministry, whilst he was falsely accused, whilst he was led to Golgotha, whilst he was hanged there on the cross, he loved them unto the end. What love! Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What great love! It began with him. We are found loving the Lord. We are found loving the brethren because of the sacrificial love of Christ. What love of the Father in sending. What love of the Son in coming and dying. What love of the Spirit in applying. He approached the soul. Life was put within. He so loved us, as we read in Romans 15. Oh, what love of the Holy Spirit to approach a wretch like me and put life within, put faith within, and put love within. Amazing love. Just consider the shepherd. He went after that which was lost. We read in Luke chapter 15. What a loving shepherd. Who went after you, dear child of God. What a loving comforter, the Holy Spirit, who applied salvation. We love him because he first loved us. And as we think of that, ought we not to love him more and more? Oh, such love to us. We love him because he first loved us. What a comfort to be able to say, we love him. Consider all that has happened this year. Can you say at the end of this year, even though you may be struggling, anxious and concerned, I love thee. We love thee. Can we all say it tonight? Or is there someone here? You can't join in. You can't say we love him. I don't love him. Or that you would flee unto Christ. Whosoever believeth. That includes you. Or that you would flee unto Christ. That you would be saved through grace. And that you'd be able to join in with us tonight and say we love him. Because he first loved us. For this grace of love is put within and it appears. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Yes, we have to battle with bitter thoughts. But love appears. It's an evidence, isn't it, of life within. The Holy Spirit comes. Faith is put within. There's love as well. To begin with, it may be just a little. For some, there's such a measure, like that lady who came in with tears in her eyes and wiped the feet of Jesus. Her love was so great. But for others, just a little. But it's there. Just the beginning, maybe. At this time of the year, there's activity in the soil. Yes, the trees look barren, but there's activity in the soil. It won't be long, the Lord willing, before the snow drops. Push up their shoots through the soil. There's activity now in the bulbs. And soon it will appear. Just a little. You may have seen them already. Just a little. They're pushing up. There it is. It may be just a little. But love appears. You think of the snowdrops. Just a little shoot. But then a little later it blossoms. How is it with you? Has it just recently just appeared in your heart? Is it blossoming at this present time? Is there this clear evidence for all? Love in the soul. What a precious thing to know love in the heart. To be aware of it. Yes, I do love the Lord. I do love the brethren. Love to the Lord. Are you loving him tonight? Consider all that we've gone through. Yet the Lord is our God. We have a precious Saviour. And we can say to him tonight, I love thee. Love towards the Lord Jesus Christ. That he agreed to come and meet the condition. Love to him who came into the world. Love to him as he lived here upon earth. Love towards him who went all the way towards the cross. As we think of Calvary tonight, are you loving Jesus? Are you thankful for such love that was displayed at Calvary? Are you saying to Jesus, I love thee? I really do. I'm so thankful because I know, even though we're facing this pandemic, all is well for my soul. And I have a wonderful future. One day I will go home to be with Christ, and no virus will be found there in that place, and no sin, and no sorrow. I'm so thankful. I love thee. I love thee that thou didst go to the cross. I love thee that thou didst rise again. I love thee that thou didst ascend up on high. I love thee for thou art reigning and making intercession for me at this present time. But as we saw last week, faith is put within by the Holy Spirit. And as we think of faith, and now this week, love, one is found looking unto Jesus, whom they love. You consider a wedding. The bride comes through the doors. And what does she do? She looks towards the front, towards the bridegroom. She's looking and she has love in her eyes. The bridegroom, he turns round, he sees the bride coming. And he too, as he looks, has love in his eyes. The true believer looks and there's love in their heart. We love the one we're looking towards, do we not? There's faith. We're looking unto Jesus and we love him. Just pause tonight. Just look to Jesus, dear child of God. Do not find yourself loving him. We look on him and we love him. There's love in the heart of the believer. You consider again that lady who came in, she was crying. She was shedding tears of sorrow. She felt her sin, but also tears of love. And there was faith in her heart. We're told in Luke 7, verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. And then the Lord addresses the woman herself. Thy faith, there's faith there. You have faith. As he was speaking to Simon, he spake of her love. He said to the woman, thy faith. You see, there's faith and there's love. Are you looking to Jesus tonight? Have you love in your soul? Oh, to talk to him, to commune with him. Do not we find ourselves, when we exercise faith, talking to Jesus? It's one of the precious things of faith, isn't it? We look to him, we focus on him, and we find ourselves talking to him. You may be on a walk or on a journey. You look up, you begin to talk, and there's love in the soul. There's love, this activity within. Yes, we fail the Lord often, but there's love. You remember how Peter, he denied the Lord thrice. Our Lord, on the day of resurrection, came quickly. And later on, in John 21, verse 15, he said to Peter, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. When the presence of the Lord tonight, we're before his eye, he knows our hearts, he knows our failings. Can you say, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee? Jesus is listening tonight. Can you say it? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He knows our hearts. Can you respond? Thou dost know, blessed Saviour, that I love thee. Yes, I fail thee. I don't pray at times as I want to pray. I don't walk at times as I want to walk. I don't love thee at times as I so desire to love thee. I fail thee, I deny thee at times, but yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Many at this time of the year will think of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing if you tonight can say to Jesus, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And when we think of that, does that not lead on? It brings us joy, doesn't it? Be able to say to Jesus tonight, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I was at my grandfather's funeral, that is my grandfather Lewis's funeral, some 30 years ago. And I heard these words of a poem. I was 16 years of age, and I saw my uncles and aunties crying. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. I love thee. Can you say that to the Lord tonight? Are you in communion with Christ? Let me hear thy voice, says Christ. Can you respond now? I love thee. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Is that your testimony? Is that your song of praise in the ear of Christ tonight? I love the Lord. Thou art so precious to me. I love thee. Now you think of one, maybe a wife, they lean on their husband on the sofa. They love their husband. They lean on him. Are you leaning on Christ tonight with love in your soul? Who is this that cometh forth from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Song of Solomon 8, verse 5. Are you leaning on Jesus? Are you looking to him? Are you resting in him with love in your heart? So much has happened this past week. There's much anxiety and concern. Can you lean on Jesus tonight with love in your soul? There's this leaning, this resting. Consider further, the believer will seek to keep the commandments. If ye love me, says Christ, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. Seeking to keep the commandments out of love for the Lord Jesus. And then the believer will desire to know more of Christ. That's a sign of love, isn't it? Is it not your desire, even tonight, to know more of Christ? In the Song of Solomon 1 verse 7 we read, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Tell me, Lord Jesus, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. I know, but I want to be told again, because I have a desire for further fellowship. I want to know more of thee. Keep telling me, blessed Saviour, where thou feedest, where there is that resting place. I want to know that nearness. I want to know that resting. I love thee and I want to know more of thee. Now the believer will be grieved at times. I am at the smallness of my love. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit will come and excite the grace. Why? Because we want to love the Lord Jesus Christ more tonight and in days to come. If the Lord spares me to a new year, I want to love the Lord so much more in the new year. Yes, I love him, but oh, for a greater exercise within my soul. Love to the Lord. Where this love will be manifested further in the love towards the brethren. Love to the Lord is seen in love towards the brethren. Love in our thoughts. We begin there. We seek to put away any bitter thoughts. Love in our thoughts. Yes, one can have love in their actions, but what is that love if there's not love in the thought, in the heart? Love in the thoughts then, in our minds, love in the action. Love in our words. We seek forgiveness for wrong thoughts, wrong actions, wrong words towards the brethren. We repent of them because of love. Love must fill the mind so that it would fill the hand and the mouth. Love. Yes, there may be rebukes, but rebukes in love. Faithful pastors must rebuke certain ones. It's their calling to do so. One may not be liked for it, but they must be faithful. They must rebuke. And there are times when other believers may have to rebuke. We see that so much, do we not, in Matthew 18. Love causes one to rebuke. Oh, for there to be love in the soul. Now true love will never justify sin. You know, some have abused this doctrine to justify sin. True love will never go along with sin, but love will forgive. We must have a right view of the doctrine of love. I've heard so often a wrong view of love, where it excuses sin. Love will not excuse sin, but love will forgive sin. There's to be love in the heart. As we draw to a close on this point, and time has passed so quickly, consider the evidences of love set before us in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity or love envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love is a precious thing, and we see it there in action. The Lord knows our hearts. May others see love in action, in light of those words in 1 Corinthians 13. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What a blessing to have love in the heart. To love the Lord Jesus and to love the brethren. What a privilege, what a comfort to love Jesus. To say that we love thee, Lord Jesus. What a blessing these fruits are. What a blessing love is within the soul. Well, we'll draw to a close, and we've only got time to consider now joy. Perhaps on Wednesday we'll consider peace. But let's consider secondly, and as time is short, very briefly, joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. There's much sorrow in this world. There's much sorrow in this nation at this present time as the pandemic continues to take its grip. We're not where we hoped we would be at the end of the year. We hoped we would have been through this pandemic, but it's not the case, and there's still so much sorrow. Yes, there is hope on the horizon as the vaccine and other treatments continue to be rolled out. But many are exhausted, many are fearful, many tears fall down the face. It's not been easy, has it? We can all say that it's not been easy. We pray that the season of great sorrow would be past and there would be joy. Oh, for times of joy again, post the pandemic. Sadly, in this world, there is much sinful joy. Fleeting, sinful pleasures. Many get drunk at this time of the year. Sadly, many engaged in immoral behavior. Sinful joy. We read of it in Proverbs 15, verse 21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. It's a joy, the folly, the sin. How empty, how fleeting, how sinful. It needs to be repented of. Now, as there was a natural love in the heart of many, there is, so there is a natural joy. We see many children bringing gladness, do we not, to their parents. Many children make you smile, cause you to laugh, and it's good to do so, isn't it? I know some very happy, unconverted couples who are so joyful and so happy. There's certain ones who pass by, and I suspect some of you know them, that they always seem to be smiling. They're so kind. They've got these natural graces. There's a natural joy. And it's pleasant to behold. However, as is the case, when we consider the grace of love, the grace of joy, the spiritual joy, is only found in the hearts of true believers. This pleasant fruit in the eyes of Christ is also pleasant in the eyes of other believers. Joy. Do you know joy in your heart? a heaven-sent joy, a delight, a gladness. Now this joy comes from above. In Psalm 4 verse 7 we read, Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. Thou hast. You think there of the joy of a harvest? Some of you are involved in harvest time in days past. There was the joy when all was safely gathered in. But there's a greater joy, a divine joy. A joy that comes from above. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. It comes from the Lord. It's wrought within by the Holy Spirit. There's this grace from the Lord. This joy in my soul. Let's just briefly open this up as we close. A joy in knowing Jesus. Remember what Andrew said to Peter in John 1 verse 41. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. They found him. And what joy Andrew had to tell his brother. We found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. Have you found him through grace? Do you know the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, many at this time of year will give lip service to Jesus. I ask you, do you know the joy in the soul of knowing Jesus? Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy it is, isn't it, to know the Saviour. To know all is well for my soul. To know the Shepherd who will guide me through the valleys. To know the Redeemer who will deliver me from difficulties. It's a joy, isn't it? The joy of knowing Christ. Our greatest joys are not natural ones, are they? They are the spiritual joys. And the joy of knowing Christ. Do you know that joy? You know him who sits on the throne tonight. Can you say with the apostle, Christ liveth in me? What a joy that is. Is it a joy to you? The joy of knowing Jesus. How empty many a heart is. They do not know Christ. They do not know that true joy. The joy of knowing Jesus. Secondly, the joy of knowing my sins are forgiven. In Matthew 9 verse 2, a certain man was sick of the palsy. The Lord said to him, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Son, you're in the family. Be of good cheer. Your sins, thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you know the joy tonight? Of sins forgiven. Be of good cheer, Christ says to you. If you're a believer tonight, you have been forgiven. And there is fatherly forgiveness when we seek his face. Son, be of good cheer. We can know joy. We've grieved the Lord. He hates sin and we grieved him. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. Do you know the joy of sins forgiven? You think of your sin. You may be grieved. What have I done? But there's forgiveness with the Lord. And the Lord says, be of good cheer. That's amazing, isn't it? A sinner who has offended God can know joy and be assured of it. Be of good cheer. You've done me wrong, but your sins are forgiven. Let there be joy in your soul. That's amazing, isn't it? Thirdly, the joy of being accepted. You remember Zacchaeus in Luke 19? When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. The Lord came to the place where Zacchaeus was. He spake effectually to Zacchaeus, make haste. And he made haste. He knew he was accepted. He received him joyfully. He was interested in who this one that was spoken of, who was coming down the way. Who was it? He felt his sin. We know that later as we read that account. But he's got the joy there. I've been accepted. My sins are forgiven. He received him joyfully. Have you? Do you know that you're accepted? What a joy that is, to know that I'm accepted. My sins are forgiven. I'm accepted. That leads us on to consider thirdly the joy, rather fourthly, the joy of fellowship with Christ. Received him joyfully. He knew he was accepted. That was a joy to him. And he dined with Christ. There was fellowship in the home. Do you know the joy of that? We may be on our own at the end of the year. Will you know the joy of dining with Christ? What a blessing that is. The joy of spending time with the Lord Jesus. Do you know that joy? That joy of listening to his voice in the Word. That joy of communion with him. You know what it's like, isn't it? Sometimes it's a struggle in prayer. Sometimes it's a struggle to listen. But there's other times. You hear the voice of the beloved and you find this warmth growing up in your heart. And it's a joy to listen. And you find yourself, yes, you may not be able to put great sentences together, but you find a joy in communing with Jesus. You find yourself saying to Jesus, I love thee. A joy and fellowship with Christ. You couples here tonight, you have times of joy together, talking, fellowship. What a joy it is to be in fellowship with the beloved. Joy in spending time with Jesus. I pray as this year comes to a conclusion, it's been so difficult, hasn't it? But all that you would know the joy of closeness to Christ, fellowship with Christ, the joy of dining with Christ. It's a foretaste of heaven. Oh, the pandemic grips this nation, but may you have a foretaste of heaven at the end of this year, of dining with Christ. What will we be doing in heaven? Dining with Christ, what joy we will know in that. As we hear his voice and we look on him and talk to him, oh, to know a little of heaven in dining with Christ at the end of this year. Oh, that joy. He will come to your heart. He will knock at the door of the heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Yes, in an initial way, but particularly that's a word to believers. Subsequent occasions, he comes. Oh, that Christ would come to your soul and knock, and you would know dining with Christ. Don't put him off, as we see in the Song of Solomon. He will lovingly rebuke you if you do. Open your heart. Enjoy dining with Christ. He desires to spend a time with you. Open your mouth. Open your heart. Dine with Christ. Well, on we could go. The joy of worship. Sweet have been the times when we have been aware of Christ and joy has arisen in the soul in times of worship. The joy of knowing I have a shepherd to guide me. The joy that one day I will be with Jesus in heaven. Do you know that joy? You're looking forward to heaven. There'll be no pandemic there. No tears, no sorrow. Your joy in your heart. I'm going to that wonderful place and I'm going to see Jesus. Is there joy in your heart? How short this life is compared to eternity. How blessed we are to know we're going to heaven. Do you know joy in view of this? My grandfather, who was a farmer on the other side of the forest near Bramsham, was heard singing the day before he died. One of his daughters came in and he spake to her of heaven. Heaven, Doris, will be glorious. His brother died a few years earlier. And when his brother was in hospital at Salisbury, my grandfather came to me. Uncle Stan could do with a visit. I'd seen him for years. I went into the hospital and there he was. His face was very dark. I said who I was. I'm Albert's grandson. I would never use my grandfather's name normally, but that was the only way, because he was very weak. And then I began to read Psalm 23 to my grandfather's brother, Uncle Stan. And his face lit up. It was so apparent. And he joined in, saying these words, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And the joy was evident on his face, and a few years later, it was known in the heart of my grandfather. There were some godly farmers in this forest who knew joy in the valley in view of going to see Jesus. How precious to know joy in the heart. How precious it is when the Holy Spirit excites this joy. There can be times of sorrow. And you're struggling. But then a verse comes home. And the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it. And you find yourself looking to Jesus. And there comes this calm. And you know a little joy in your heart. And yes, the tears are flowing. But you're rejoicing in Jesus. Do you know anything of this? There is sunshine after the rain, joy comes. Did you notice it today? One of the members said to me, "It's a lovely day," as they came in. The sun was out. It was a terrible wet day yesterday, wasn't it? But the sun was out, and it brought gladness. Joy comes after weeping, after clouds of sorrow. Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh." You may be struggling. You may be, along with many, anxious, fearful. But you, dear child of God, will know joy. It comes. The Lord fulfills his word. Joy cometh in the morning. How many days we've struggled and we've gone to bed with our anxious thoughts, the morning comes. And there's joy. The Lord has preserved me. The Lord will help me. I found it often a precious thing in the morning. Joy has come. Oh, to know more love and more joy at the end of this year. May the Holy Spirit so excite the grace of love that we're found loving Jesus more, saying it to him more often. And may the Holy Spirit excite the grace of joy. Joy in affliction, joy in sorrow, joy in knowing Jesus. Do you know that joy? It's possible in these days of great affliction to know joy in the heart. Our prayer is to the Holy Spirit, come, excite the grace of love, excite the grace of joy. I want to rejoice in Jesus, whom I so love. In my soul, let us pray we might end this year well, loving Jesus and rejoicing in him. Amen.